The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Maulana Rumi, the famous poet, he has a beautiful story that he gives. He says that one time, and you know, usually his stories are based on hadith or based on the ayat of the Quran. He says that one time there was one of the prophets of God who met a shepherd. And the shepherd was limited in his understanding of the world around him. And he found it very curious to hear what the shepherd was saying. The shepherd was saying that he was crying out. He's saying, "Oh my God, where are you? Oh my God, show yourself to me so that I can do what?" He says, that so I can come and I can clean your little home. Show yourself to me so I can come and kiss your little hand. That's a bit strange. Come to me and show yourself to me so that I can serve you and I can mend your buttons when they come undone. Right? Come to me so that I can cook some food for you, and these types of things. Now you can understand here that from the shepherd's perspective, right, his understanding was very limited. His understanding of God was something where God was just like maybe a master, and he wants to be a servant of like a human being who is worthy of being served. Na'udhu billah. But this was his understanding. He tells him, this prophet hears him say that, "Oh God, show yourself to me. Don't you know that I want to sacrifice all my sheep for you? I want to sacrifice all my goats for you. When I call to my goats, and I say, oh, and I say, e, and I say, I, all these are ways of remembering you." Right? So at this point, the prophet steps in and he says that, "Tell me, who are you talking to? What are these words that you're saying?" And the shepherd says that, "I'm talking to the one who created the very earth that we live on and the very skies that are raised in the sky." So he says, "Leave aside this nonsense that you're saying. What is this about God having a hand and this thing and that thing?" And Maulana Rumi goes on to say that later on, the prophet receives revelation from God. And God asks him, he says that, "What are you doing? What is it that you did with that man? Why is it that you spoke to him this way? I tasked you with the job of bringing together, but your action right here has been a source of separation. What might be honey for you at this point is poison for him. What might be poison for you is honey for him. But I will accept what he is doing right now." So the prophet gets the message. He goes back to the man. They reconcile. And if this was the end of the story, we might say that, okay, well, maybe, you know, this, we don't have a proper understanding of it. Because after all, we do know that the prophet was more educated. We know that that man was ignorant. He was making mistakes. But the story goes on. Maulana Rumi says that that man thanked him for bringing him to a higher level of understanding. His tool set has now increased. His water bottle has gotten bigger. When he goes to that water now, he's going to be able to take more from it. And he's on a journey that maybe at one point he will go to that prophet and say that, "You teach me. Teach me about God. And then teach me how to talk to God. And then teach me how to pray to God. Because whatever I've done with my own understanding has been limited." So he thanked the prophet for allowing him to reach a higher level of understanding. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So brothers and sisters, when it comes to our position in the society, our interaction with those of the same faith, those with other faiths, when we look at it from this perspective, somebody who says that religion is something which is a personal choice. It's up to everyone, whatever they want to do. I'm not going to have anything to say about what anyone else does. That is might be a convenient position, but it's not a position which is in line with the teachings of our faith. Our faith teaches us that we do have access to that truth. And we do have the tools to be able to get that truth and acquire it for ourselves. And when we look at others who have another set of tools, we can say with confidence that because we have access to the last message, we have the most sophisticated set of tools. But that does not give us a right to be arrogant over others. Because who knows, maybe that set of tools that has been offered to me, I haven't taken full advantage of it. And I've been presented with that hujjah, that proof from God, but God hasn't presented that other person with that hujjah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا Surah Al-Isra. That we are not going to punish somebody until we send them the message and the messenger. If somebody didn't get access to that tool set, then they're going to have a valid excuse. So this is important. That when I'm dealing with others, I look and see, what is the reason for this person not being guided? What is this reason for this person having a set of different values, different morals? Is it out of deliberate injustice? Or is it out of an excusable ignorance? If it's out of excusable ignorance, then I need to take a different path. It's very interesting. You know, we have one of the very strong commandments in our faith is the teaching of Amr ibn Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Amr ibn Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, commanding to the good and forbidding evil, it applies even when it comes to our interaction with non-Muslims. This is something that often we're not aware of. Even when it comes to our interaction with non-Muslims. Why? Because everyone has the responsibility of being a servant of Allah. But the approach that I take will be different depending on whom I'm talking to, how much of an excuse they have with respect to that ignorance. Even those who don't have an excuse, my approach has to be very sophisticated. I have to take a right approach in order for me to have an effect. But when it comes to my position in the society, on one hand, I have to be firm on my understanding that I do have an ideology. There is the truth. On the other hand, I have to be able to be flexible in the sense that I understand that different people come from different backgrounds. They have different level of understanding. I want to see what I can do to help them. I don't want to be arrogant in the process. One time there was a companion of our sixth Imam, alayhi salam. And he asks him, he says that sometimes we come across people who are from different faiths. Is it okay if we somehow speak badly about them? If we, you know, take an approach which is not the akhlaqi approach? And the Imam alayhi salam says that no. He says, haven't you heard the story of the magicians of Fir'aun? Who are the magicians of Fir'aun? They were people who were the arch enemies of the Prophet. But in the matter of less than an hour, when that proof was presented to them, now they have access to a bigger container for being able to access that truth. They have access to the latest and greatest tool set. When they see Nabi Musa alayhi salam perform his miracle, they realize that they had been in a state of ignorance. Now they became shuhada. They became martyrs in the path of God. So this is the example that we have when we're dealing with others. It's not a position of neutrality. It's a position of actively working to try to, first of all, be an example of myself. Second of all, see what I can do to perform my responsibility of calling people to the truth. Our maraji, when people have asked them, they tell us, what is our responsibility when it comes to calling people of other faiths to our faith? Or let's say within Islam, let's say that we have an opportunity to introduce the beautiful teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, their akhlaq, their way of approaching things, their ideology, to those who don't have access to it. Is that our responsibility? Our maraji respond and they say that that in fact is one of the most excellent examples of doing Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. When you have that opportunity, you take it. But it has to be in a principled way, not in the position of, let's say, you know, I'm neutral in everything. I'm going to be dealing with my religion like something that's in my pocket. I take it out when I want to and I put it back when I'm with others. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.